Let me, I want to pray for us before we read this passage of Scripture, if that's okay with you guys. Let me pray for us. God, I just pray, Lord, that you would speak in this passage of Scripture this morning to us, to our hearts. God, I just pray that what is in this will help us to renew our relationship with you. God, the most important relationship that we have in our life is that relationship with you. And God, I pray, Lord, that the trickle-down effect that comes from a growing relationship with you would be healthy marriages, healthy dating habits. God, that's my prayer this morning for all of us here. God, as you show us the meaning of you and your bride as we look at us as grooms and brides, God, I just pray, Lord, that you would just speak to our hearts this morning. God, thank you for the opportunity that we have to teach your word and to study it. In your name I pray. Amen. Passage of Scripture we're looking at this morning is out of Ephesians chapter 5. And this is one of those passages that has been blown up all over the place, and a lot of men like to use it as a, honey, you need to get in there in the kitchen and get to cooking or something. But the truth is this passage is so much more than that, and boys, let me tell you, we have definitely got our fill here too. It says in Ephesians 5, verse 22, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body. Did you get that? His body. Because we're going to come back to that. Didn't say his building. Of which he is the Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Now let me just kind of hang out on this for just a second here, and let me just kind of talk to this for just a minute. This passage of Scripture has given us some stuff, and once again, I'm not trying to make anybody feel uneasy. This is not a pick on the ladies kind of deal, and I hope that nothing in this series has come across that way. We're just teaching Scripture and what it teaches us, and the thing that is happening right here in Scripture is that Paul, historically, what is going on at this time, and I don't know a whole lot about the history of Ephesus, but I know that such cities as Corinth and other cities were already dealing with this huge amount of sin. People dealing with all these things. And so Paul, who is writing this, who God is speaking through to pen this on paper, is sending this to a church in Ephesus because obviously there's been some issues going on, and he's had to send this to say, hey, this is what God would have us to do. This is the guidelines of what God would want us to be about. And so as he's writing this, we've got to take into context what is going on in Ephesus, what is going on in Corinth, what is happening in these cities, what is the sin of this time? Well, if you look back at this historically, what is going on is that a lot of women were being freed from slavery. This is just historical truth. Not saying this is a good thing, it was a bad thing. It was a good thing they're being freed. That could be taken wrong. Although, I'm surprised no men amen that. And what happens here is that as the women were being freed, they were struggling with being the godly wives that they were supposed to be because they had found this newfound freedom. It's almost kind of like, you know, women's lib about, you know, 30, 40 years ago when that all started going down, and it's like, oh, empower the woman and go out, you know, whatever. And, you know, it's almost kind of the same kind of thing. That even in our culture, and you won't talk about relevant, this is relevant to us and where we are at and the things that we're dealing with as families. And I talked about early in the series, I think that we are directly having to deal with things as families because of some of the stuff that have happened in the last 30, 40 years with some of that. And in this time, Paul is saying, hey, ladies, hey, check this out. This is who you are supposed to be. This is who you were wired up to be in your marriage. And of course it says, you know, submit to the husband. Like I said, you know, a lot of husbands will take this as, you know, go get in the kitchen, do what I told you to do, woman. That's not what's going on here. Let's just read it. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. Now right there, that is leading us into understanding the beginning that men were designed to be spiritual leaders of a household. Now I know that some of our ladies in here today could say, you know, I'm married to somebody that's not even a Christian. And I just want to encourage you today and say this. You are not called to leave that person. You are called to still submit to that person, but you are called to love that person like Christ has loved us. And through that love, that they could see how Christ has changed your life. And then in turn, one day they will want what you have. As you go on right here, it says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything." This is the bottom line of this passage of Scripture. God wants men to step up their game, to man up and be the men that he created them to be. He has created us men with some just honest to goodness, some leadership things that are deep down inside of us that we were given from birth, wired up in our veins so that we would be the spiritual leaders of our households. Now, what do we see a lot of times? We see in a lot of families, a whole lot of families, and thank God that these women have stepped up to the plate when the man wouldn't. But we see a lot of families where the lady has had to step to the plate and become that leader because the man refuses to do so. Let me just tell you something, guys. If you are a believer, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, don't cop out on your family. Okay? Now, ladies, this is not a he becomes Gestapo over you and you get order. You know, that's not what this is about. This is about spiritual leadership. Now, ladies, you have been wired up to do things that we can't even dream of doing. My wife is incredible with our daughter. She can make things happen with my daughter that I don't even understand. She can be in my arms crying and mommy walks in the room and she looks up and there she is and there's a big old grin. And I'm just like, well, you know, other than, you know, being, you know, the feeding wagon here or something, I can't get this. But, you know, there's just a lot to this. That, ladies, you have just been wired up to be something special. And men, you have too. If you go on in this passage of Scripture, in verse 25, husbands, and ladies, if you're bitter at me for teaching that part, just know that the husbands have like three times as much here following, going their direction. And it says, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present herself to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it, just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh." We talked about what that meant several weeks ago. "This is a profound mystery." Some of you are laughing. "But I'm talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband." There's that respect. Remember I talked about earlier in the series, women need and men need respect. You see, ladies, you were wired up needing love from a man in a special way. It's no secret. You desire it. It's something that comes deep down from within you. And men, although, yes, we want to be loved more than anything, we were wired up wanting respect. And that's one of the things that I think has just really deteriorated marriages. We talked about this a little bit earlier in the series and how a lot of times men have a hard time showing love. We have a hard time wanting to touch, you know. And we have a hard time expressing how we really feel. We'll think, and guys, you just go with me on this. We may be thinking all the way home from work one day, tonight I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this. And then we get there. And it's like we've gotten stage fright for this audience of one that we've been married to for X amount of years. Women, guys need respect. They need respect in such a way that they know that they are taking care of you. If you look at this passage of Scripture, what is happening here is an incredible thing. In verse 25, we'll go right back to it. It says, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her." Now, right there, this is the beginning of possibly the end for us, guys. This passage of Scripture is basically saying, guys, if you're a believer, you should love your wife to the point that you would do anything for her. Yeah, that you would provide for her, that you would take care of her, that you would protect her. As much as Christ loved the church. And let me just ask you, what did Christ do for the church? He died for her. You see, men, that is what we are called to. You see, the submitting thing, a lot of people, oh, women are supposed to submit to men. Well, guess what? Men are supposed to submit to their wives in a way that we are supposed to follow God in doing whatever it takes to take care of them, to care for them, to protect them, to be that spiritual leader that God has called us to be. I'll just tell you what, we've got a shortage of those men today. And this is not a beat up on men thing either. And let me just go ahead and throw that out. I know that we've probably got some guys sitting in here today that you're probably just kind of coming back to your relationship with the Lord. And this could be a little bit overwhelming for you because you're thinking, well, you know, my wife, she's been going to church all this time. I hadn't been in church in years, and all of a sudden we just started coming back. And, you know, I'm not even knowing what to do with this. Do this. Love your wife. Love your wife and put her before yourself. That is what submitting is. Ladies, same thing. And, you know, we're going to get in. We'll keep going. Hold on. Verse 26. To make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. Let me just ask you just for just a second here. Now, that passage of Scripture is, and this is one of the incredible things that's happening in this passage, is we've got this parallel all through this passage of not just us as wives and husbands, but we have this parallel of Christ and his bride, the church. And what is going on in this passage of Scripture is that God is saying, hey, present her. Christ has presented his church, is going to present his church, and I'll just read through some of this again, is going to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. I'll tell you, one of my favorite things that Floyd said last weekend was when he said, when he was talking about his wife, and they've been married for, I think, 20-something years, almost 30 years. And he said, you know, my wife has gotten more beautiful over time. And he said, I attribute it to this. I have told her that she is beautiful. Over and over and over again. He said, I have lifted her up. As her husband, I have given her my affection and my love. And it has made her radiant. Guys, that's what we're called to do with our wives. Christ does this for the church, has done this, is doing it, is going to do this for the church. And when it's referring to her, actually here, it's talking about the church. But if you go back and, you know, you read through this passage, it just keeps going back and forth. And we'll get in some parts and it'll say, and here I'm talking about, you know, and here the whole time I've been talking about the church, or here I've been talking about you as husbands and wives. And it's a parallel, and we're going to talk about why it's a parallel here in just a second. But to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. Let me ask you guys, how can we do that when we say, why didn't you do this, honey? Why didn't you take the dog out? Why isn't my dinner on the table right now? I worked hard today. There's a skit, Saturday Night Live skit, that Will Ferrell is in, and you see this family around the table, and the dad always has to have the last word. And basically they're just yelling at each other the whole time. And as they're yelling at each other, they just are spitting out basically what they have done, what I have done. Here's my offering to the thing. And the dad is constantly going, "I'm an executive manager of a branch. I drive a Dodge Stratus." And I love the Dodge Stratus line. I don't know why. It's just funny because they're terrible cars. That's an opinion. You shouldn't take that. I love that because that is so much what is happening sometimes in our society, and we just don't even realize it. We're looking at each other going, "This is what I've done. What have you done?" And instead of saying that, why aren't we looking at one another and saying, "That's an incredible job. I know you spent all day cleaning this house. This morning it was a wreck, I know, and I helped it get that way, and you've done an incredible job. You've done an incredible job getting to do that. Hey, I know you couldn't get to that because you've been busy today. You had to work today." You know, if we start going at things in that direction, guys, our wives are going to be radiant. They're going to be without blemish. And that's what God has intended for us to do, is to build them up. And He's intended for each of us to build each other up. Verse 28, it says, "In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body." And let me just kind of stop here and just kind of camp on this for 1 second. And that's basically kind of going back to earlier in this passage of Scripture when it said that the church, his body, when it's talking about that, it's not talking about his body as in like bricks and mortar. It's talking about the people that make up the church. You are part of the church. And we're going to talk about why that's important here in just a minute. "For we are members of his body for this reason. A man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church." Here he goes. Just back and forth. "However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband." Let me ask you a question. Why do you think that it's important for us to understand that as Paul is writing this, that he is talking not just about us as husbands and wives, but he is talking about Christ and his bride, the church? Why is that important? Why does that matter? Here's why. We are a part of the body. Every single one of you are a part of the body. Let me ask you a question. This is not trying to make anybody feel guilty, but I just want to ask you this question because this is real good self-examination of where you are as a part of the body. If the church depended on, if the church depended on you for some major part of the body, what would our church look like? What would it be like? How is your heart toward the church? And let me just confess to you for just a moment that I've been in church work for a long time, and I grew up a preacher's kid, and I saw a lot of stuff. You see a lot of behind the scenes. And a lot of people can't handle behind the scenes of the church because they just want to think that everything's hunky-dory all the time, and that's not the truth. It's dirty work sometimes, especially just dealing with folks that are hurting and seeing some of the things that they're going through. But beyond that, just dealing with other things, the runnings of the church. You see, we are each a part of the body of Christ. And we have been called to be a part of the body. In some of my earlier years of ministry, I'm being honest with you here, okay? I grew bitter toward the church. I had a great pastor that I worked with, and he told me this, and he would say it all the time, and he was a preacher's kid too, so he and I really kind of knew where we were coming from on this together. And he would say, "Chris, don't let Satan steal your joy. And do not let him interfere with the love that you have for the bride of Christ. Because here's what will happen. There will be people to come along that will tarnish it. It will have blemish. It'll have wrinkle. But Christ died for it to be wrinkle-free and without blemish. And he's washed it clean through his sacrifice on the cross. And this morning, there's so much happening in this passage of Scripture that we just don't even have time for. But I want you just to get a brief picture of the importance of us not just to serve as a part of the body and do our part as a part of the body. I know that I don't want any of my organs just to quit working on me today. If that's okay, I'd rather not go to the hospital. Don't want to have to deal with that. I encourage you to pray about how you are a part of the body. There's a lot of folks that are great at coming and sitting and hanging out, and I want you to know we're glad to have you. If you're visiting with us, that's awesome. If you're a believer and you're committed to this church, then you need to get committed to the body. Find a place to serve. Find a place to grow in ministry. I'm not going to tell you where to go. You don't need somebody to tell you where to go. You need to see what you desire to do as a part of the body. And then you will find that you're going to be more fulfilled in growing in Christ and your relationship, and that just goes on and on. That's just some awesome stuff. And if you need help in, you know, knowing ways that you could, you know, begin searching out at that out, a place to volunteer, something, talk to David Mead, talk to, you know, any of those folks that volunteer. They'll point you in a direction, I promise you. But here's the other thing. Here's the other thing that makes this important for us today. That us as husbands and wives, if you're a husband and wife and you're here this morning, I want you to know this. We are the only visual institution on this planet. Our marriages are the only institution on this planet that this world has got to see the relationship between Christ and his bride, the church. And truth be known, a bride that loves her husband is going to adore him. I mean, just absolutely going to love him and respect him and follow his spiritual leadership. And therefore, the church should be doing the same thing when it comes to Christ. And we, as married people, should always know that we are portraying to the rest of the world what that relationship looks like in a physical, material form on this planet. Now, that's once again, I said, this is a whole lot of stuff. We don't even have time. It's like a series in of itself right there that I just started, and we're not even going to go any further than that with it. I just want to kind of throw that out and let that sink in on you, and you can be praying about what your marriage looks like to the rest of this world and the importance of that and how important that really is for us today. I want us to do something this morning. We're gonna take the Lord's Supper here in just a few moments. But before we do that, I want us to spend a few moments praying together. I think that it is important for us to understand that Christ sacrificed everything so that we could be cleansed, so that the church could be without blemish. He did that for each and every one of us. And this morning, I know that I don't know the stories that you brought in here with you. I got a phone call this week from a close friend of mine, actually a text message, and she said, "My husband and I are separating." And I'll just tell you what, my heart just broke. We as husbands and wives, Christian believers, we have to be seen as the church, and the church has to be seen adoring our Savior. And so I want to just spend just a moment us praying together this morning. If you're sitting next to your husband or wife, I want you just to grab their hand. I want you to close your eyes. If you're single this morning, it's all right. Don't grab anybody's hand. Just close your eyes and bow your heads here. I want us to just pray for just a minute here. If you're single this morning, I just want to encourage you right now to begin praying for the person that God would have you to meet. Be specific with your prayers. Pray for the things that God would have for you to have in a mate. I challenge you to do that. I challenge you to be consistent at doing this and see if God doesn't answer, because He did this for my life. Aaron, if you're here, come join me. If not, it's cool. Husbands and wives, I want you right now to just spend a moment. I want you to spend just a moment to pray for each other. You may do this silently right now. You may just want to do this under your breath, but I want you just to take just a moment. I want you to lift up that person. I want you to thank God that they are in your life. They may be going through a struggle right now that only you know. They may be going through a struggle right now that you don't know, and you sense in them that there is something going on. You need to pray for that right now. You need to pray that communication would be as open as humanly possible between the two of you. That God would bring you closer together. Singles, you've seen a lot of pitfalls. We've talked a lot about pitfalls of ways that people find themselves in divorce. You need to pray that God will protect you from those things when you are dating for a mate. Folks, you need to pray that God will protect your marriages and that He'll keep Satan away. You may have children or family right now that are dealing with the possibility of divorce or separation, or their marriage just isn't going good and you're just afraid of where that's going to lead. You may need to lift. We've all got friends that are going through this. Lift them up. May have friends in your life that are about to be married here before long. Pray for them. Lift them up right now. Lift up their new marriage to come. That God would bless it. Thank you so much for guiding us with your word, or for giving us everything that we need, God, to figure this out. God, I thank you for giving us a body of believers that we can come and that we can be a part of. God, I pray, Lord, that you would lay it on our hearts to understand, Lord, however humanly possible that we could possibly understand this. And God, my head spins even thinking about it, to understand what it means to reflect the relationship between you and the church. God, that we have that kind of opportunity to impact our world through our marriages alone. God, I pray right now for the folks that are here, God, that have been through divorce, and there's a lot of hurt and a lot of stuff going on. And God, the situations that are in here, Lord, people just don't even know. And God, I don't even know. And God, I just pray, Lord, that you would just give them the strength, God, to be everything that you want them to be. God, so that they can understand and know, God, that there is healing on this side of that, and that there's joy in knowing you and in growing in you, and that, God, even in our spouses, God, we can't find that kind of joy, but we can find it in you, and when we do, our relationships are going to be that much stronger. God, I pray, Lord, for the men that are in this room, God, that you would guide them to be godly, spiritual leaders, God, not dictators. But God, people, men of God that are willing to sacrifice whatever they could for that woman that they love. Lord, that you would be with the ladies in this room, God, that they would grasp what it means, Lord, to live and to be that woman of God that you have called them to be. That mate to their husband, that support system, that person to bring that respect. God, for the singles that are in here right now, God, I lift them up to you, God, and just ask, God, that you would just guide them through the dating process. God, that they would not see it as a game as I did when I was dating, but God, that they would see it as the road to something much greater than that. God, to understand when to be in and when to be out, and not to toy around with it, because God, it can be like playing with fire, because we know that Satan will use those things against us. God, don't let Satan take good things in our lives and use them against us. Things like sex, attraction, and all of those other things. God, I pray, Lord, for that family that right now is just financially, just about to just lose it. They don't know what they're going to do. God, Lord, help them to see that there is a way out. God, that they do not need to call it quits. God, for anybody in this room that is even halfway thinking about getting a divorce, separating, God, I just pray, Lord, you impress on their hearts, God, the importance of them working this out. They loved each other enough to be together. God, they can love each other enough to see this through. God, help that to be the case on both parts, as it does take two. Lord, we love you and we thank you for this time that we have to just spend with you, to pray, Lord, to ask you. God, this is a relationship with you, God, right now that we're having as we've been praying for others. God, I just want to say this. Lord, we want to thank you for everything that you've done for our spouses, for the people that we have in our lives that love us, that care for us, our friends, our families. Got a lot of folks in here, I'm sure right now, are probably thinking, I don't have that many people. God, there is a room of people right here that love them. Let our church follow after the love of your Son Christ. May it love everyone with that kind of love. Lord, you've called us to do something a little bit different than a lot of churches. You've called us to be a missionary. You've called this part of your bride, Lord, to step out and take some chances on some things. And God, I know that you are going to keep her radiant without blemish, or keep her holy, or be with all aspects of the leadership of this thing. God, that we would all just seek you in everything that we do. God, may that come out in everything that we do. God, may it all be for you and for your glory and for your fame. May our marriages and our relationships and our friendships and our talk and everything that we do be for your glory and for your fame. We love you, Lord. Guide us and direct us. In your name I pray. Amen. This passage of Scripture, we see an incredible thing. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. We have two tables up here in the front, and on them we have little pieces of bread and some juice, and you can just dip that in. And this is how we take the Lord's Supper. Sometimes we do it different ways, but today we wanted to do this, and this is how we're going to do this. Basically, you've just got the next several minutes to come. We're not going to have you come as rows or anything, but just on your own. And here's what I ask that you do before you do so. Remember what Christ did for his church. Remember how he loved her. Remember how he cleansed her. That she is without blemish. She is wrinkle-free in his eyes. You may have some things that you just need to kind of lay down today at the feet of Christ. And if that's so, then you do that. But examine your heart before you come and you take this. And ask God to be the Lord of your life. Maybe you're here today. Maybe you've never become a Christian. I would love to talk to you about that. I'm going to go hang out over here in the corner during the service while the band's playing, whatever. And if you want to come and talk to me about that, I would love to talk to you about that. We'll slip out and we'll do that. Let me pray for us before we take this. God, I just pray, Lord, that we would examine our hearts right now. God, that you would help us to examine our hearts. God, that we would see where maybe we're not completely on board with you right now. And God, that we need to let go of something. We need to overcome something. God, that we know that if we know you, then we can do that. We have been given the gift of self-control. God, help us to overcome the things in our lives that we need to overcome today. Help us to live a life that is holy and pleasing and without blemish for you. God, that is so hard to do. God, it's impossible to do. It's an impossible task. But God, you have called us to it, and that is what we are going to strive for, being your people. Lord, if there's one person that's here today that doesn't know you, God, I just pray, Lord, that they would come and they would talk with someone. me or someone else about coming to know you as your as their personal Savior today. Thank you for being our Savior. God, bless this time for all of our folks that are believers to come and participate in, to remember the sacrifice that you made.